Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Minson, the 12th Apostolic Secretary of Congregation on behalf of the South Down Libertyville, Texas. Today is June 25, 2017, or it is the second day of the fourth lunar month, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, We Have an Anchor That Keeps the Soul Steadfast and Sure While the Billows Roll. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life when the clouds unfold their wings astride? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. That anchor's a rock which cannot move, round eternity in the Savior's love. If to safely moor till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables cast from this heart to thine can defy the blast whose strength defined. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, rooted firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers tell that the reef is near. Though the tempest parade and the wild wind blow, not an angry wave shall abrupt or flow. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, round eternity in the Savior's love. It will surely hold in the floods of death when the waters cold shall allay this breath. On the rising tide it shall never fail, for our hopes abide within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold in the dawning light, and in gates of pearl our harbor, we shall anchor fast in the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast into the rock which cannot move, round eternity in the Savior's love. Restore the Kingdom of Heaven, Part 1. We're going to continue on now with Jeremiah, Chapter 31. And we're going to, it's about the restoration of Israel. same thing as the restoration of the kingdom of heaven. It tells the same story. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, I believe. It says, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yeshua, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. In other words, for the restoration of the kingdom unto Israel. It's not for you to know, which the Father hath put in his own power. So, it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now your key word here also is power. Without the Holy Spirit and without power, it is impossible to understand the mysteries of Yahweh, that he has put in his own power. But when you come to perfection and you receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, then you will be empowered then to understand all things aright. And you will know at that time, when the Spirit is poured out upon you on the day of Pentecost, you will know exactly where you are at in the kingdom of heaven here in relation to being on this earth, and how it is to be transferred from one place to another until this world is done away with and is called the kingdom of heaven here on earth fulfilled. Now, what does it say in Luke 17? How many times we read that before? It says 20, Luke 17, 20. It says that, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of Yahweh should come, he answered them and said, for the kingdom of Yahweh cometh not with the observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. So when you learn how the spiritual kingdom is set up, and it's set up with the laws of the sanctuary. And so everything is based upon law, and the law is the foundation of all things. And so therefore, when the sanctuary is restored and put back in its rightful order, it's set up according to the laws that was given unto Moses on Mount Sinai, and that is how the sanctuary was restored unto Israel by Moses. But he had to go get the laws and learn the laws. It took him 40 days to learn the laws for the raising up of the tabernacle, setting it up and teaching it, and teaching heaven's order. That's where the tabernacle came from, was from heaven. Moses went up into that tabernacle that came from heaven. And there in it, there was the Father and the Son, and there they taught him for 40 days everything about the sanctuary that was in heaven. So Moses was a privileged character. Oh, he was privileged, privileged, privileged. And he ended up spending 80 days in that heavenly abode, in that cloud above Mount Sinai, in that tabernacle of the sanctuary that had come down from heaven. He got 80 days he spent there in that cloud. Okay. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Okay. Now let's go to Jeremiah 31 and read about the restoration of Israel according to the prophecy of Jeremiah. It says, at the same time, saith Yahweh, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Yahweh, the people which have were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, unto the Yahweh of Elohim. For thus saith the Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping and with supplication, but I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles of Pharaoh, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the house of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yahweh for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping, for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahweh, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yahweh, that thy children shall come again unto their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoan himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullet, unaccustomed unto the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Yahweh my Elohim. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, said the other. Sit thee up, waymarks. Make thee high heaps, sit thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy city. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For Yahweh hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Yeshua of the host, the King of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Yeshua bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And they shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yahweh. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity, every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. A new covenant, verse 31, Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Yeshua, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Yahshua. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahshua. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Hail the Yahshua, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Saith Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Yahshua, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahshua of hosts is his name. And those, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahshua, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith Yahshua, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that the city shall be built unto the Yahweh from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the court of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gera, and shall compass about to go at. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the field unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Yahweh. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. That's the end of chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Let's go right on into Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 1. Jeremiah buys a field. For the word that came out of Jeremiah from Yahweh in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now it's spelled Nebuchadnezzar, N-E-B-U-C-H-A-D-R-E-Z-Z-A-R. And then in another place it's spelled N-E-B-U-C-H-A-D-N-E-Z-Z-A-R. They put the N in the place of the R. But it's one and the same. It's just two different translators from two different historical information using two different dialects of languages changed one letter. the in and the are out. That this Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar are one and the same. We know it better by Nebuchadnezzar, and that's where we're going to call it. It's Nebuchadnezzar is mentioned, I believe, 160 times in Scripture. 31 times it's spelled with Nebuchadnezzar. And the other 129 times, I believe, it's spelled Nebuchadnezzar. Alright. And Jeremiah 32, verse 2, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of the Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of the Judah, has shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes, and he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and this shall he be until I visit him, saith Yahweh. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, behold, Hananiah, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption in thine is thine to buy it. So Hananiah, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of Yahweh, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of Yahweh. And I bought the field of Hananiah, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money and the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according unto the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hananiah, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith Yeshua of the host, the king of Israel, take the evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith Yeshua the host, king of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now you see what's happening? Israel has come back from the sword. They've been 70 years now. They got their autonomy back in 1948. As a nation, come back from many centuries of being scattered into all nations around the world. And here they're back in there. Why? Because of this deed that Jeremiah took and bought for 17 pieces of silver and had that land deeded. So this is the prophecy. This is the assurance. This is the guarantee that Israel in the last days will build again. And they've got their money. They've got their building material already ready to go. They've got permission from everybody but Donald Trump now. He's holding them up from their proposed buildings there in Samaria and Galilee, Judah, and the Gaza Strip, where they got all these building permits ready to go. So this is whenever there was Gentiles that driven out of Jerusalem. When I say Gentiles, we're talking about them Palestinians. And those Palestinian Gentiles have been driven out, and all those Orthodox Jews that run Jerusalem's government, they're in Jerusalem, and they're all relieved of their duty and driven out of the land. Then that's when you're going to see this prophecy in its fulfillment here in Jeremiah 32, verse 15. For thus saith Yahshua the host, the king of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. So they're already possessed. The Israelites have already gone in and, for my goodness, for the last 100 years. For the last 25, 30 years they have been building in the land of Israel. They started coming back in the 1880s. 145, 50 years ago, the Jews started coming back into the land of Israel. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, prayed unto the Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh Elohim, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty Elohim, Yahshua the host, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according unto his way, and according unto the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. This prophecy has been made its fulfillment ever since about 1881-82, when the first Jews made their way back to the land of Israel, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear unto their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing at all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Well, a lot of evil has come upon Jerusalem in the last 150 years since they started coming back to the land of Israel. A lot of evil has come upon them. And they have turned and overturned until there's no more overturning there in Jerusalem of leadership. That is totally against Israel becoming a righteous nation. And that leadership are of the Gentile origin. Okay. Verse 24, Jeremiah 32. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldean. This is your Babylonian that fight against it. Okay, because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence and of what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. Okay, I'm going to go back and reread that verse 24 again, because I have some new thought to put in on this. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. Now this is Obama, when he became president in 2009, the United States president. His whole aim is to lead the Muslim Terrorist Brotherhood organization, to organize them with money and leadership, and to finance the overthrow of all nations of the world, and at the same time to destroy all Jews out of all nations upon the face of the earth. And this has been Obama's calling. This was his real calling. Well, because Washington, D.C. represents the antitypical capital of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, and its leader there represents the king of Babylon, and so therefore you have a banished king of Babylon, Obama, that's been taken over by the antitypical Tsarist, Donald Trump. Remember in the top, when Tsarist overthrew Babylon, it says then Tsarist was named also king of Babylon. Now keep in mind that Cyrus, in the top, king of the Persians, the Medes and the Persians, when he overthrew Babylon, that was the fourth kingdom, about the fourth great universal kingdom that he had overthrown. And he became the king of Babylon. He disposed of the king of Babylon before him, and then Cyrus now becomes also the king of Babylon, as well as the king of the Persians and the Medes, and he's also the king of four or five other nations at the same time. But he's called, one of the titles he had was the king of Babylon. Now Donald Trump has that same title because he has vanquished the former king of Babylon, Obama. And so now this is what you have. And yet Donald Trump is still exercising the same power over Jerusalem as all of our presidents had before him. Obama exercised the power over Jerusalem to keep them from building, even though they've got permits and clearance and they got the money to do it with and they got the material ready. They still have to wait for the okay of the king of Babylon before they can do anything, because they're under the power and the control of the king of Babylon today. So, they're hollering and swimming. But whenever the time is up for the Gentiles that rules over Israel, and the main ruling power, it comes from Donald Trump. Even though he's very much in favor of Israel's autonomy and being set free, nevertheless, he's still having to control the reins there and say when they can be set free. And it's all in the power of Donald Trump. He has in his power to set Israel free. But he has to do it through warfare. So that's going to, Donald Trump's going to represent the financing and the leadership for the overthrow of that leadership in Jerusalem. And that will mean Donald Trump represents the forces of the Gentiles. That's mentioned there in Zechariah, that's going to come in and drive out the four horns, which represent the Gentiles that control and run Jerusalem today. And so Donald Trump, he will give the command, now it's time to do it. But Jerusalem has to wait for that. They're getting mighty impatient, but they're still having to wait for it. It says, behold, the mounts, they come. For they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Gentiles, of the Chaldeans. I said Gentiles, same thing. Chaldeans are the Gentiles, Babylonians, that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and beholdest thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Yeshua Messiah, buy the field for money and take witnesses. For the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans or the Gentiles. So Yahweh confirms the captivity. That's verse 26, Jeremiah 32. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Yahweh, the Elohim of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? Therefore thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, And he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal. So, those houses in Jerusalem today that are doing the same thing, that hates Yahweh the Father and His Son, the only thing that they're doing is, the only thing they can do in the way of form of worship is offer incense and their prayers unto Baal again, and that's what they're doing. And pour out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. So they're provoking Yahweh to anger. That's the reason why they have so much bloodshed, and they have the enemy in the Jerusalem today, and the poor Jews don't have no rest day nor night for fear of their enemy that's sleeping right next door to them. Verse 30, Jeremiah 32. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Yahweh. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face, so I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they sit their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither come it into my mind, that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore thus saith Yahweh, the king of the Yahshua, the king of Israel, concerning this city whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in my great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Now this is talking about this here king of Babylon that wanted to overthrow Jerusalem, and did overthrow Jerusalem and Judah at Jerusalem. Today that would be Obama. Obama's greatest ambition was to overthrow Jerusalem while he was in office for 8 years. He tried everywhere in the world to lead up to that, to do that very thing. But he didn't prevail because it wasn't for him to do. But the new king of Babylon, which is called the king of the Persians, Donald Trump, he will overturn Obama's declaration to destroy Jerusalem. By defeating Obama and becoming president and sitting in the very seat that Obama was sitting in, the very fact that Donald Trump sits right there in that very chair behind that oval desk in the Oval Office where Obama sat for 8 years, the fact that Donald Trump is now sitting there himself, and he stands for the opposite for Jerusalem is what Obama stood for. Obama stood for the overthrow and destruction of Jerusalem and all of its inhabitants. And Donald Trump represents the restoration of Jerusalem and all of Yahweh's people to it. Not the opposite. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. Now this is talking about that new Israel that is on its way right now to take over Jerusalem under Donald Trump's supervision. This is talking about that new house of Judah, the house of David, Okay, it says, verse 41, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, as surely with my whole heart and with my whole soul. So this is a promise and a prophecy and a guarantee, because Jeremiah bought this field in Israel for 17 pieces of silver, and he had the deed certified on it and witnessed to it. He had one document sealed and the other left open. Okay? And so this is a guarantee that this will take place here in the last day. For thus saith the Yahweh, like as I have brought all of this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land. Well, that's exactly what they're doing right now. Is Israel's then got the deeds drawn up. And they've got the repossessions drawn up to take back their land that the Arabs have come in there and confiscated in one way or another from them. Now keep in mind that this land that the Arabs are coming in there and allowed to come in there right now and to steal and to falsify deeds to it and everything to take control, this is land that the Arabs owned when the Jews started coming back in there in the 1880s and 1890s and on up to 1948. This is land that the Arabs had previously taken control of, but they sold it to the Jews. That's the reason why the Jews have deeds of that land. They got it from these Arabs. Now these Arabs and their descendants are coming back and trying to steal their land back that they had already sold to Israel. This is what's going on, folks. Whereof you say, it is desolate without man or beast, it is given into the hand of the Chaldeans, in other words, the Gentiles, those Palestinian Muslim Gentiles. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Yahweh. This has already taken place and has happened. You can go back and check the history of the Jews since they started coming back in about 1881. They started coming back to the land. Hertz was the first one that brought, this Jewish man named Hertz, I believe, was the one that brought him back, made his first journey with him in 1892 back to Israel. And the first thing they did in there, they went in there and started buying up this here swamp land there from the Bedouins there in the Negev Desert, out there in the hot desert. They started buying this swamp land from them and reclaiming the swamp land, turning it into fertile fields and plowing and planting seed on it, growing rich harvest crops and building houses on it, and then employing the very Arabs, Muslims that they bought the land from, they employed them to work for them. And the Muslims gladly worked for them. They got along real fine until Britain sent their CIA devils in there during the 30s and the 40s and started putting and planting seed into the minds of those Arabs that had sold their land to the Jews that were doing so well working together. They started planting seeds, saying, hey, the Jews have come back and stole your land. Now they're going to drive you off of it. No, as long as those Arabs accepted Jewish religion and became faithful bondmen again, they could stay as long as they were faithful to the covenant of the Jews. All right, that's the end of Jeremiah chapter 32. Let's go now into verse chapter 33 of Jeremiah. A gracious return promised verse 1, Jeremiah 33. Moreover, the word of the Yahweh came unto me, unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Yahweh, the maker thereof, the Yahweh that formed it to establish it, the Yahweh is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And thus saith Yahweh, the Yahshua, the king of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mouth and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans. In other words, they come to fight with the Gentiles. But it is to fill them with the dead bodies of the men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. So why are the Gentiles in the city and in control of the city today? Because of wickedness of the former leaders that have been set up in Jerusalem before. Verse 6, Jeremiah 33, Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first, and I will cause, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquity whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I shall do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it, thus saith Yahweh. Again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye shall say, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, and even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Yahshua of the host, for the Yahshua is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of Yahshua, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith Yahshua. This saith Yahshua of the host, again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down in the cities of the mountains, and the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith Yahweh. The branch of righteousness. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and unto the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up under David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called the Yahshua or righteousness. For this saith Yahshua, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offering, and to kindle meat offerings, and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith Yahshua, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites to preach my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people has spoken, saying, The two families which the Yahshua hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that there should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith Yahshua, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the heaven and the earth, Then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, for so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Well, the captivity returned in 1970 to fulfill this prophecy here I just read to you in verse 26 of Jeremiah 33. And 33, Jeremiah 25 and 26 verses of chapter 33. Thus saith the Yahweh, if my covenant be not with the day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the heaven and the earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant. Now this David, his servant today, reappeared in 1970 to work with antitypical King Saul, antitypical Esau, antitypical Ahab, Joseph W. Johnson. So it said, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David, says comma, and David, but David's of the seed of Jacob, my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed, any of David's seed, to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this kingdom of David is the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Yahweh is bringing forth here in this 12th parabolic hour that we represent the leadership of. He says he's going to make them the rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so the seed of Isaac was Jacob. Jacob overcame, got a new name, and then a sacred name, Israel. And then the descendants of Israel, the true Israel, was his 12 sons, inherited Jacob, and then the 12 sons turned into the 12 apostles at the cross, and then the 12 apostles turned into the 144,000, and here in the 12th hour has come out of the edge of the church. And the house of David, the wave sheaf offering, is to rule over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are found in the Adventist church in the group of the 144,000. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. The key word is captivity, to return. And so when you go to Isaiah 66, you read about those that escaped the first judgment, those whose captivity had returned, and that would be the first fruits, represented by the wheat grain, the 144,000 coming out of the Adventist church. You'll find that in Isaiah 66, starting with about verse 19, it says, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escaped of them unto the nation. So, those who escaped out of what? Out of the prison house that they were held up in, to Tarshish, Tor, and Lud, that's to the Gentile nation, and draw the bow to Tubal and Avan, and to the isles afar off, that's the Gentile islands, and have not heard my fame, nor have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren, all these Gentile nations, they're going to bring leadership out of those Gentile nations for an offering of the Yahweh, out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots, and in leaders and upon mules, and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Yahweh. As the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Yahweh. So here's a remnant of the Gentiles that are going to be have a representative priesthood representing them that's going to be brought to the holy mountain Jerusalem to the king of polished ground to receive their crowns also so that they can be rulers over their Gentile brethren that are going to follow them to that holy mountain in Jerusalem here on the last day. Well, it says there in verse 21 of Isaiah 66, for I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith Yahweh. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the earth, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahweh. And it shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be in the horn and all that. In other words, the fire is not going to be quenched in them until they're consumed off the face of the earth. Then that's when it will die. That's when the worm will die. When their whole bodies have been consumed off the face of the earth. That's when he sends all the fowls of heaven, the beasts of the field, to come and devour. He sends the fire to devour, and he sends to clean up the whole mess. And as soon as it's all devoured to ashes, then that's when everything will cease in the way of, and form of life in these wicked people. So, that brings us to the end of Jeremiah 33. And we're close to the end of our study this hour. So, I guess we can make a comment or two, and then we'll bring this to a close. Let's go to Ezekiel 37 right quick. And let's read verse about 24 through 28 to bring this to a close. If I can hurriedly get there without stopping. It says, and David, let's read verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make the covenant of the peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen, the Gentiles, and those former brethren of all the Adventist church shall know that all Yahweh do sanctify Israel. And my sanctuary, my true tabernacle, shall be in the midst of them forevermore. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact at the 11th hour call. Number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my heart I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Let the divine open my ears that I may hear voices of truth ascend this curve. And while the wave notes fall on my head, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my heart, I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear. Let me the warm truth everywhere. my heart and let me prepare, and with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my heart I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit, with thee, Lord.